I heard earlier this week too. It said, Jesus is gentle, but you can't tame him. I don't know. Well, anyway, Luke chapter 1, we're going to be in about verse 13, carrying on from this morning. I don't know if y'all really noticed this morning. Well, I hope you did. But, man, something happened this morning I haven't had. I've experienced the Holy Spirit on me before, but I've never experienced the Holy Spirit in that way before. That was amazing to me. I don't know how it came across to you, but it was as if God let me feel what he was feeling, Zachariah was feeling in that moment. And I was trying to explain how good God had been to me in my life without speaking. I mean, he took me all the way back to my salvation and everything good God had done to me. And I was trying to explain, and I was sitting there trying to go, man, this is heavy. I don't know if I'm going to get over that for a while, because that was an experience. I don't want to get over it. It just happened to happen in front of a bunch of people. Y'all almost had this, like, I was like, wow. So, with that being said, that was an experience. We might get into it again. I don't know if we'll get there, but we're going to get into the Word. Do y'all mind if we just drive around in the Word a little bit and learn something? It's Sunday night. I mean, we'll try to, if the Spirit of God shows up, we'll turn into it. But I want y'all to leave here with a little bit more information than normal and apply it to your life. Luke 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, that's, fear not, Zacharias. It's hard to say that, right? Go back to verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Who? Gabriel, the angel, right? Standing in the presence, standing in the midst, the holiest of holies, in the temple, praying, worshiping. Angel shows up. We think we're cool. God, come on. We think we're cool. When we come to church, we think we're going to be able to, we got a plan, do Sunday school. I'm going to come in, and they're going to do some singing, and take up an offering. Preacher's going to preach, and I'm going to Texas Roadhouse right after that, right? And I know what I'm going to order, right? Or I'm going to go to El Matate's, and I know what I'm going to order. Right? That's cool, right? I'm going to go home. The crock pot's going to be set on so-and-so. There's going to be a roast in there, and we're going to get home, and that's what we're going to eat that, right? Just right after, and the cornbread, okay? Whatever, I can't really reach everyone. I don't know exactly. I went through McDonald's. And I hope she don't order a large meal. Is that right? Hopefully she can stay within the parameters of my $20. If not, then she's going to have to shell out some. Amen? Okay, good. I think we've reached everybody. But anyway, what if God shows up? What if Jesus shows up? What if God does a miraculous thing? Yes. I don't mind if church goes swimmingly. I don't care if church goes the way that we always have it. But if God wants to interfere. If he wants to wreck Sunday school, let him wreck Sunday school. If he wants to wreck worship, let him wreck worship. If he wants to wreck the preaching, let him wreck the preaching. If he wants to stay a while and just worship and lay in front of him and say he's great, then let it happen. If somebody gets excited and testifies, let him testify. If somebody wants to sing a song because God has burdened their heart and they just know that they're supposed to say it, somebody said, I got to say something, I got to do something. That's how God shows up. Now, y'all got to understand this. 20,000 priests. 20,000 priests have been set out by lot. They start tossing lots, and it falls on him, and it's his turn. And he goes, Lot, I've been doing this my whole life. I've been prepared for this whole mile. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this and this. And the whole time, I've told you this already, he's in there. Oh, God. But he has a prayer. Some of y'all need to write this down. He has had a prayer his whole life. I want to be a dad. I love being a pastor. I love being a preacher. I love being a priest. I love having a job. I love having a house. I love my wife. But everybody's got something that's missing. And you petition God for it. God, I don't be a daddy. God, I don't be a daddy. I wonder how many times he prayed that. I wonder how many times, golly, but I wonder how many times him and his wife got together and held hands and knelt down and said, God, we want to be parents. Year after year after year after year. I guess God just don't want us to be parents, so we'll be the best priest and priest's wife we can be. But then all of a sudden, God interrupts. They're normal. At a time inconvenient. God don't work on our time. God ain't on our plan. We're on His plan. God ain't doing things the way you want to do them. He's doing them the way He wants to do them. For the best outcome. For who? Him. And us. And humanity. God ain't just worried about me and you. He's thinking about everybody. He's thinking about saving everybody. He's interrupted. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not. God is so cool. I promise I'm going to try to get somewhere other than these verses. But God is so good that every time He scares the daylights out of you, He tells you not to be afraid. Are you a comedian? Because you show up and you scare the daylights out of me at an inconvenient time, at a time that I'm trying to do spiritual religion, brother. Golly. Fear, just don't be afraid. It's just your, you know, one of the archangels here, right off the throne of glory. Don't panic. Don't be, fear not. Yeah, right. Right? Fear not. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need to underline this. Underline it, highlight it, do whatever you do. Thy prayer is heard. What does that mean? God heard it. When do you think He heard it? First time. And every time following. Amen? Remember Daniel when the angel made it to him and said, I heard your prayer 21 days ago, but I've been wrestling with the devil and I just now made it. My God, wait a minute. I've been fasting that. Never mind. I've been fasting and praying. This man is well into his older age. God, your says, hey, your prayer's been answered. Right now? Y'all got, is that good or what? God's hearing your prayers. Are you praying? Amen? Are you praying? Now listen, I'm the world's worst at this. I need to be reminded of this all the time. I need more than email. Amen. I shouldn't have said that. I hate that terminology. I need to pray about things better. Amen? God gets on me all the time. I talk to everybody else. He says, sometimes you don't talk to me. Amen? Preacher's big on talking. We're big on communicating. God give us a gift and we wear it out. Amen? Don't you say amen right there. I will wear you out. I was kidding. I was waiting for one of y'all to go, amen, brother. But guess what? Sometimes we need to talk to God more. Amen? We need to get in that deal where we're talking to Him and getting before Him and really going back and forth with God about some of the stuff, right? And look at this. He's in there and he's like, hey, your prayer's been answered. I'm thinking, yeah, it's all right. But look, I love it. You shall bear a son. Underline that, man. What he want? He wanted a child probably, but he gave him a son. In that time, in that era, that's even better because guess what? It don't end with him. Amen? Yeah, y'all, never mind. Well, you got to remember where we're at. See, a daughter's good, but a son is amazing. Because guess what? Back then, you couldn't inherit anything. You couldn't pass anything down. It was in the son's name. It wasn't in the daughter's name. Amen? I don't know. I'm not against women. I don't think they're any less than any. I'm just saying, at this point in time, guess what? That was the deal. You wouldn't inherit in no promised land. You wouldn't get anything unless, guess what? You're the male child. So guess what? God blows him away and says, you're getting a son. Amen? Remember this. Angels, write this down. Angels are messengers of God. So when Gabriel's saying it, God's saying it. Amen? Gabriel's not just telling him something. God's speaking to him. Amen? Now, remember when I told you this? I might have run over this really fast. I want y'all to get this. Nobody has spoke for God to a person in over 400 years. Zechariah is getting a fresh download from God right here in this beginning of the New Testament. That's pretty cool, ain't it? His name, I told you this morning, I hope you remember, Zechariah, God has not forgotten His people. God has not forgotten.
Ain't that cool? Zechariah's name means God is not forgotten. Man, you couldn't put this stuff, you couldn't make this stuff up. The first guy God has talked to in 400 years is his name means God ain't forgot his people. God ain't forgotten. Wouldn't you feel like after about 400 years, no prophet, nobody speaking for God, all of a sudden, hey, God's kind of forgot about us. I said, I ain't forgot about you. I just hadn't had nothing to say. Oh, never mind. Y'all good? Watch this. Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Whoa, 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 and whoa. Whoa, stop. We've been praying, God. Some of y'all pray, we pray. We want God to move. We want God to do great things. But when God does do great things, we want Him still to do it in some kind of manner, form, or fashion that we would like it to happen. We don't have no Johns in this family. I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes, listen, I'm not talking about changing the gospel. I'm not checking the birth, the burial, the death on the cross, the resurrection, none of that. But guess what? God does change things. God uses different things, different manners, different delivery, different ways. Guess what? He changed up how He healed somebody every single time in the New Testament. Why? Where you wouldn't fall in love with the mechanisms of how He did it, but in love with the one who did do it. Did I say that right? Did I say it right? You wouldn't fall in love with the process, that you would fall in love with the one who made the process happen. He healed some different every single time because He knew how people were. Oh, we're going to be the spit, dirt, and mud church. Hallelujah. And we'd run. Y'all didn't know what that... Did y'all get that one? He healed one guy. He took some dirt. God, I love that story. I mean, there's some things I want to be around for in the Bible, but that would have been the one. Guy's been blind his whole life. Jesus reaches down and gets some dirt and does the... Sorry. Had to, because I'm a guy. Spits. Makes dirt, makes mud in his hand. Everybody's just looking like, what's he doing? This guy's born with no eyes. That's how, hey Joy, what's this? That's how Dad did it. Huh? That's how God made them all from dirt. Remember when Adam made him out of dirt? I'm glad it was a guy because I never seen him make a woman because he made women from the ribs. Sorry. I shouldn't say ribs, I should say spare ribs. Ha ha. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Kidding. We didn't need that extra rib anyway. You ever got mad at your wife and said, man, I wish I had an extra rib? Y'all get that later when you get home. And then she hits you in the ribs. All right, you good? Sorry, got carried away. His name's John. Why are we calling him John? Amen. God's working in a different way, a new way, something different. He's changing up the way He's going to do it because guess what? God doesn't work in that same. So that's like the church has got to be willing. If we're going to be a successful church, we're going to be a successful minister, you're going to be a successful teacher, you're going to be a successful Christian, you got to know what to leave behind. Amen? I'm not saying leave everything behind, but you got to be willing to say, wait a minute, that don't work no more. That's not working. That's not very functional. That's not going to happen today. Guess what? We got teenagers today, and we got people today that they've got more information in the palm of their hand than you had in your whole life. They're information-driven people. Golly, I hate doing this. They've got everything we dreamed about having in the palm of their hand. No, y'all know what. We had to have a boombox, a radio. Amen? Some of y'all, I'm about to date you. Your radio's sitting in your living room. Amen? Remember you pop it open and had a record player in it? Yeah. Some of you old enough to know you sit around and listen to it instead of watching TV. Amen? A kid today, and some of us adults today too, it's cool, but a kid today, they can get every song that you ever, in 5 seconds, any song you want to hear from any genre that you've ever wanted to hear. What song is that? Okay, a new type. What's that? How do you spell that? Deaf what? Sorry, I ain't going to do that. What, and you're going to do, and okay, I got it right here. I got the whole album. You'll hear it in like a second. Remember us? My apes. You had to sit by the radio for hours. Record play, record play, record play, right? And you'd wear that tape out and have to hit every commercial. And then all of a sudden the tape would break and you had to get a pencil. Sorry. That's the way we live. Amen. They got everything at the palm of their hand. They, guess what, a camera? They remember cameras? Cameras? Lenses? Don't touch, yeah, film, well, take it down there and get it photos. You got to get the film done, drop it off, pick it up. That ain't even a thing. They got everything in the palm of their hand. GPS, if GPS goes out, ain't nobody going nowhere. My dad needs to break out a map. I mean, goodness great, I can stop, put the map away. We got that. Turn left. Listen to her. She'll talk you all the way in. Amen. If that goes away, guess what? We ain't going to know what the... I drove to Indiana like 10 times. I don't even know what the road signs are. Go to Indianapolis. Take a right. Listen to that. What that lady says. Amen. Y'all good? They got everything. They've got it. All these social media outlets, they keep up with all their friends, they keep up with all their information. They've got Google. My gosh. You say something, they don't understand it. What was that? They type it into Google, guess what they got? They got Wikipedia, bumps out, and oh, that's this, and that's it. And you're like, man, used to, you had to go. Encyclopedia Britannica. Do you remember that? My mom would, she'd get so mad. You broke volume 2 of the Encyclopedia. Well, I don't even like these books. Amen? They got it all in their hand. So guess what? We've got to engage them with information. You got to know more. You can't just tell them something. Man, I've done this to my son. Well, you know, this is the way it is. You've got to believe in Jesus and Satan. He was cast out of heaven. And guess what? In the end, he's going to cast him in. Why'd he cast him out? Well, why this and why that? Well, what the rest of the angels, where do they come from? And who's this group in hell that they went down there and preached to that are in chains? What's that all about? And you're like, oh gosh, I got to study. My kid's asking me questions. He's like, well, right here. It says right here on Wikipedia. I said, turn that thing down. Wikipedia, it ain't got the answers. The Bible's got the answers. Y'all good? So we as a church, we can't do something that worked 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. We've got to move up a little bit sometimes and engage these young people with the gospel in a way that they can be relevant to them. Some of you are like, I don't like when you say you gotta do it. Yeah, I don't either. Sometimes you gotta do it. Sometimes you gotta meet them on a level. Somebody met you on a level. Amen? All right, let's go on a little bit. Y'all ready? And thou shalt, verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. Listen, all these things are facts about a person that's not even been born yet. You want it better? These are facts about a person that has not even been conceived yet. Golly, can y'all? Derek, was that pretty good? God's speaking about a person that hasn't even conceived about. Some of y'all might want to write this down and think about it this way. God has your whole life planned out even before you were even conceived. That's how much God is in control. We think sometimes that we're in control and God's not. God's always in control. Oh, okay, I'll keep reading. Kevin, go on, brother. Somebody say it. Go on. Thou shalt have joy and gladness. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Man, we're talking about a third world country, about a kid that don't even know who he is. But they're saying, hey, there's going to be a party at his birthday party. He's going to have a birthday party. Everybody's going to rejoice. This guy's going to be important. Not even been conceived yet. Amen? Verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Amen? A Nazarite. He's a Nazarite. Amen? He's under that. Samson. Solomon. No, man. Samson. Who's the priest? God, you got me. Samuel, Samson, and John the Baptist. Okay? Yay, I remembered it. I was happy about that. All right, check this out. He gives him all this information. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, that's great and all, but guess what? He's giving him all this information, telling him who he's going to be and what he's going to be looking like. But he's, wait a minute, but ain't I his daddy? Ain't I his daddy? We're Levites. When we go to the temple, we dress like this. He's going to wear camel's hair. Huh? Hey, when we're in the temple, see, he don't dress like, golly, never mind, that's a, he ain't going to dress like you, Dad. I want him to, but he ain't. Oh, but when he's in the temple, we make an offering. We eat from that. We eat from the extras from the offering. He's not. He's going to eat locusts and wild honey. Dude, I can't wait to get a look at John. Could you imagine this guy, Gary? Could you imagine him? He's got a swinging rock honey, man. He's got that big swinging rock honey jar, and he's over there, and he reaches in there and gets him a big fat locust. Hey, man, oh, you ain't never had none until you had something like this. Huh? He ain't eating offering. He ain't eating the fatted calf. He ain't eating lamb. He ain't eating, I mean, man, he's eating bugs. You're talking about, man, he's a radical dude. This dude's a radical guy. He's not going to be like you. Amen? He ain't going to be like you. Well, we go up to the temple every Sabbath. Guess what? John the Baptist ain't even going to be welcome in the temple. He's going to preach in the wilderness. He's going to have the first wilderness church. He's going to do something nobody else has done. He's going to be baptizing people. They don't even know what that is. I'm going to get my head wrapped around this. Why can't he just be a Levite? Why can't he just be like him and his mom? This guy is going to be a target for people. The devil's going to hate him, but man, people are going to hate him. What have you been praying for? I think this is a problem. What have you been praying for? See, some of y'all want to do great stuff for God, and you want to pray for it, and you're waiting for it. You want God to birth it into your life, and you want to do some radical stuff, but you ain't willing to be hated for. You ain't willing to be disliked for. You ain't willing to be weird and different. I hope people are talking about our church in the valleys and everywhere else going, man, that church is crazy on fire. And they hardly do anything in order because their pastor's out of order. And never mind. Sorry. Y'all see it, though? He's doing everything different. And his dad's trying to get around his mind. Wait a minute. We prayed for a child, God, and what we thought is we're going to raise this boy. Well, we weren't raising. No, if you pray for a while and you're asking God for something and he gives it to you special, guess what? He wants special from it. If you want God to do special things in this church, don't be surprised when it's different. Don't be surprised when it's something that you've never seen before. When you're sitting there going, man, I've never really seen it this way before. I've never really seen it do this way. We've never been there. We've never done that. Praise God. So, man, I'm always amazed at how awesome Zechariah was at change. Man, all right, Lord. All right. His name's John. Sounds like he's got a pretty flourishing ministry. Right. Can I go ahead? I'm sorry. He hadn't even been conceived yet. God's speaking those things that as if they already are happening. Amen? Those things that are not as though they are. Amen? And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. What? What? I'm sorry. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Let me go back. Guess what? His ministry is going to be so effective, souls are going to get saved. Listen, don't have a problem with the ministry if souls are getting saved. If Jesus is moving in your sanctuary, in your service, in your Sunday school, in whatever you're doing in ministry, don't be mad at that. I can always tell a Pharisee or some religious joker is because they're always mad about what God's doing, and he's usually doing it to their religious stuff. Hallelujah, praise God. They're messing up our stuff. Praise God, we ain't going to take none of this to heaven with us. We can be good stewards. I mean that. We ain't got to be stupid. We ain't got to be radical. We ain't got to mess stuff up to mess it up. But praise God. But guess what? If somebody gets saved because of what we're doing, never mind. Ooh. That gets me excited. Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit of Elijah. Who? Elijah. You know who that is, right? That's the one that's been prophesied. See, God sent John the Baptist, and he sent him, but he already prophesied this. He goes, there's one coming who's going to be like Elijah. See, they thought Elijah was coming, but he wouldn't. It was going to be John the Baptist, and he's the same. And Jesus clarifies that. He even says, he said, they're looking for Elijah, but that wasn't him. It's John the Baptist who they were looking for. And the Jews are still in the dark about this because they're still waiting on Elijah. They're still lighting candles and saying, when's Elijah coming? And John the Baptist has come, been the forerunner, and left. I love John the Baptist. I love to preach about him. He's got one of the best sayings in the Bible, period. Everybody is a Christian, if they would say this in their life and mean it, would be one of the greatest things you could ever say. God, let me decrease as he increases. If you'd make that your mantra, your title, if that'd be your deal, you'd be a great Christian. Let me decrease as he increases. When he comes on the scene, let me get off the scene. When he gets on the stage, let me get off the stage. When he gets the mic, let me get off the mic. When he, amen? This is good, amen? Look at this. To turn, listen to what he's going to do. It's amazing how the gospel works because it does do this. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Have you ever seen a man get saved to have kids? I have. It's amazing. A man who has kids who get saved. His heart turns to his kids. Amen? The right way. Never mind. This is good. This is good. I've seen this firsthand. You can't even be a good father until you get saved. Because you don't even know how to love your kids. You don't have any direction. You might make them good people. You might give them some good experience. You might give them some good work. But boy, get saved. Listen, they call it husband house band. Holds the house together. Amen? When a father, if mama gets saved and goes to church, the kids might go. Amen? And when they get old enough, they might not go. Amen? But if a father gets saved, everybody's going. Get your stuff and get a little going to church. But dad, I don't. You can catch a whooping and you still get to go. Amen? Oh, never mind. I remember when my dad got saved. Praise God. We'd all be like, I don't want to go. I'm telling, okay, hey, don't hustle the boy. Don't worry about the boys. I got them. Don't wear them out. Don't get them. You know, they'll go next week. They'll go next time. We're saying, hey, yeah. Dad got saved. Get your butts in the car. Hey, I don't think Christians are supposed to be saying butts. Sorry. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Something Peyton says a lot. Amen. Verse 16, and many of the children, wait a minute, to the fathers the children, remember, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let me go back and get that second part. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Guess what? He takes people who are acting a fool and makes them wise. You ever seen that happen? Boy, I've seen that. Participated in it a couple times too. Praise God. He takes people who are acting a fool on their foolish and makes them wise. You ever talk to somebody who was a fool and then they got saved and you talk to them after and you're like, my God, you are smarter than I thought you were. Amen? Because guess what? They get in correct order. They get in correct line. They get under the authority, which is God. God is full of wisdom, and the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. But when you line up with that, all of a sudden you start sounding smarter, because guess what? When God's leading, he leads you into great places. Amen. I know I'm preaching long, but it's okay. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Aren't you glad God's still working on you? Amen? He's getting you ready to go to heaven. Thank God. Amen? It's not going to be any surprise. When God comes back, we're not going to be surprised. We're going to be ready. If he comes back for you individually, you'll be ready. If he comes back for us corporately, we'll be ready. Amen? And you say, well, I'm not ready right now. Good, because you've got grace to live, not die. Amen? I would preach on that a little bit longer, but I'm not going to. Verse 18, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man. Y'all remember this morning? And my wife is well stricken in years. What he said? He got boisterous with him, and he said, I'm old. My wife is old. That's why he got in trouble with the angel, because he said it just like that. He said, what he was saying is, I don't believe you. What he wasn't calling Gabriel a liar, he was calling God a liar. I don't believe you, because I'm old. You didn't do it on my time and God. You didn't do it the way I wanted you to, right? I love the comeback. Peyton said he's going to start answering this. Every time he gets in a spiritual debate, he's going to answer it this way. And the angel answering said, I am Gabriel. Peyton told me, he's going to start answering, I'm Gabriel. I'm like, come on, Peyton, don't do that. But he answered, because I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and am set to speak unto thee, and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Let's keep. Okay, so guess what? He don't let him speak for 9 months. Hallelujah. His wife said, amen. Sorry. Let me get down. I'm going to try to go somewhere else real quick, and then we'll end. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. I remember, and this is this morning, just amazing. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them as he remained speechless. Man, they knew he had been with God. And it came to pass that as soon as the day his administration were accomplished, that means he stayed there a little bit longer and finished his duties, he went to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, and to take away my reproach among men. All right, good. Y'all good? I want to give y'all the answer. I'm not done yet. I hope I'm not done. I didn't rush to get done. I want y'all to get this. God never works a miracle in your life. He never works a miracle through you. He never gives you a birth to a ministry or anything that he births in your life new, ministry-wise, that it's not going to connect with somebody else's. Amen? We're not alone. Amen? We don't get a miracle that doesn't connect with another miracle. We are a body joint, fit jointly together. Amen? Elizabeth, all right, I'm getting a baby. I'm blessed. She spends 5 months alone, hidden. Why? Because God is about to impregnate her cousin Mary. And she has to be ready to help her, to encourage her, to bless her, to do everything for her. Because what she is carrying is a miraculous baby. But what Mary is carrying is God. And when Mary shows up, Elizabeth's got to go into action. Amen? Because when Mary shows up, Mary's going to be confused and worried. And she's going to be on day one of what Elizabeth's doing for 5 and 6 months. Oh, this is good. Amen? Elizabeth's already showing with her miracle, and she's sitting there, and she's doing all the work. And when she first shows up, and she said, oh, blessed. Oh, blessed is the mother of God. Oh, Lord. She starts speaking into her life. And she spends, guess what? She spends 3 months up there of nothing but getting just showered with the word, with encouragement, with love, with everything she's going to need to face a world who's going to say, how'd you get pregnant? Amen? See, God doesn't ever give you anything that's not going to connect with somebody else to do great things. So God didn't call you to teach. He didn't call you to preach. He didn't call you to sing. He didn't call you to do whatever gift or talent you got to do it alone. To do it. Oh, more churches are broke up and split up because nobody wants to share with somebody else. I do this. I play this. I sing that. I do that. Praise God. You know what? Two's better than one. Three together are not easily broken. Well, praise God. If you're not careful and you knock people out of supporting and loving and doing for God, and you know what? You'll find yourself doing it all alone in front of nobody. I've seen churches that have closed everybody out because they want to do it their way, and only one person can do it. And guess what? There's only about 20 or 30 people there. But they're going to do it their way. Amen? And that's awful. Can I give you all the end of this? I love this. Guess what? When it's time for Elizabeth to have a baby, her husband, Zacharias, hadn't spoke the whole time. All of a sudden, the birth's about to happen, and she's going through the labor, and she's about to push old John out, and somebody says, wait a minute, we hadn't done the most important thing. What's his name? Sweat rolling off. You know, if anybody ever had a baby, I haven't. She said, listen here. His name's John. You can't be spiritual and have a baby at the same time, amen? And dad is over there like, they're like, no, you ain't got nobody in your family named John. That ain't going to happen. We ain't going to name it. We're going to name him. And all of a sudden, John's like, he wants to, that Zachariah's going to fix it. He's the one, he's going to lay down the law right here. give him a piece of chalk and something to write with. Name. John. I subscribe to what God told me he was going to be 9 months ago. He's going to be what God said he's going to be, not what I want him to be. Amen? It's amazing that until he got on board with what God's doing, he didn't open his mouth. But the minute, this will help some of you, the minute he said, God, I'm with your plan. I'm with what you said. Then he got to start talking again and doing what he wanted to do. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.